In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wednesday morning in our Bible study, we came across something that I think is really interesting in our gospel reading today that you may not notice all the time, where Jesus heals this deaf man. And it says he took the man aside and then Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears, touched the man's tongue, and then he groaned loudly, he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and then he said, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. It's Aramaic, Ephphatha is, so be open. So the interesting question we came across is, who was Jesus talking to when he said, "Ephphatha"? And most of the time, I think we assume that he was talking to the man, right? Because that just seems to make sense. He's telling the man, "Ephphatha, be open." But that doesn't really work when you remember that, one, the man is deaf, so he can't hear Jesus. And secondly, you can't open your ears. You can't tell somebody, open your ears. We do this sometimes, right? Unclog your ears, right? But we can't. So it wouldn't make sense that he's talking to the man. Instead, who is Jesus talking to when he says, be open? He's talking to the man's ears. He's talking to ears and telling them, open up. Now that's kind of a little crazy if you think about it, because what if we could do that? What if we could command different parts of our body to work the way they're supposed to? That would be a pretty cool thing, right? I would love to be able, and I bet a lot of you agree with me, I would love to be able to command my brain to remember things, because it drives me nuts when my brain doesn't work the way I want it to. Just Friday morning, I had a doctor's appointment at 8:30, I think it was, and I had it on my calendar. They called the day before to remind me, and I just remembered last night I didn't go. You know, what? How can your brain do that? And I'm telling Valerie, like, I just don't understand this. You know, I had everything. It's on my calendar. They call. But this, of course, is, we can't commit. I can't just say, remember this stuff. It just doesn't work. A lot of you have hearing aids, right? What if you could command your ears to work the way they're supposed to? We wouldn't have to deal with these hearing aids anymore. It'd be kind of nice. Or what about your gut? What if you could tell your gut to work right? Right? You could eat a big 20-ounce steak and then say, now digest that, right? What if we could do these things? We can't. Valerie and I have a friend on a more serious note who has brain tumors, and she can think the words in her mind, but she can't get her mouth to say them. And you've probably known people that have been in situations, how frustrating that is, right? You just want to tell your mouth, say what I'm telling you to say, but it just won't come out. Now, the fact is that Jesus commands all kinds of crazy things like this. We just don't think about it that much. He commanded water to do what? Turn into wine. And it did. Some of you would probably like to have that, right? Be able to do that one. He commands fish. He says, get into these nets. Obviously, he's not saying these words, but you understand. He's commanding fish to do what he wants them to do. Get into the nets. Some of you fishermen wouldn't mind that, right? He commands diseases to leave, and they do. Right? Imagine that. If one of us could just command cancer to just leave, just go away. Jesus commands eyes to see again, commands wind to be still. What I'm getting at, of course, is that Jesus commands things in creation to do what they're supposed to do. Right? Ears are supposed to hear, eyes are supposed to see, tongues are supposed to talk, and Jesus can say, now do what you're supposed to do, and they do it. We, of course, cannot do that. Instead, you and I are stuck living in a world that is broken. It's broken by sin. Ears don't hear their way they're supposed to. Our brains don't remember things their way they're supposed to. Things break, right? I can't command my car to never break down. But instead, you and I, we got to go to the shop all the time and pay these big repair bills. We can't command our stuff to stop wearing out, to stop growing old. People break also. We can't command our bodies to stop growing old, or command colds and flus and viruses to stay away from us. The weather breaks. The weather is broken. We can't command Hurricane Harvey to stop blowing. Instead, it floods millions of people, right, and causes all kinds of these people to suffer. Everything everywhere is broken by sin. And that's why Jesus, right before he heals him, he lets out this loud groan. Because That's the deal. It is a groan. Sin is a groan, right? It's gut-wrenching to see how sin breaks things. Not just little things like we can't hear like we want or can't see like we want or can't think like we want, but big things. To see people start wars, to see people kill each other, to watch animals eat each other, to watch our pets die, to see people who are blind, who have never heard a word in their lives, who can't walk, who can't think. It's groaning. Now, let me ask you a little question. I bet you've asked it. Now, why doesn't, if Jesus can command all these things that are broken, he can just command them to be fixed, why doesn't he just do that? Why doesn't Jesus, and this is an okay question to ask. I want you to understand, it's okay to ask this. It's a good question. Why doesn't Jesus just command everything to work the way it's supposed to? Why doesn't he just command everything to be fixed? Well, he will. He will. Okay? For that, the thing is, we just have to be patient. He has promised that when he comes again, he will fix everything. Everybody's going to hear perfectly. Everybody's going to think perfectly. There's not going to be hurricanes. There's not going to be any of this suffering. And that's why we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But understand, before all that, he had to deal with the bigger problem. And the bigger problem isn't just ears that don't work right. The bigger problem is sin and death. So when you think about miracles this way, it's very helpful. Jesus did some pretty awesome miracles. Told ears to open up, told wind to be still. But all of them were done so that eventually we would believe in the greatest miracle. What was his greatest miracle? Turning water into wine? Commanding wind and waves? Raising the dead? No. You know his greatest miracle. His greatest miracle is his resurrection from the dead. That's the miracle that he wants us to see. Right? Because that's where you and me sinners, are fixed. Yes, Jesus could command all of creation to be fixed, but you and I would still be sinners. So he goes to the biggest problem and does his biggest miracle to fix us and to make us right with God again. And that's what Jesus wants all of us to see. He wants us to see the greatest miracle. Yes, he can open the ears, he can make the blind see and raise the dead, but what he also does is takes all your sin to the cross, dies for you, and rises from the dead to give you salvation. He does what we cannot do. He makes us right. Just like you can't command your brain to work the way you want, or command your eyes or your ears or your gut or anything else, you also can't command yourself to be right. This is where we sometimes go astray a little bit, right? What is more important than being right with God and having eternal life? Nothing is. And the problem is we can't command ourselves to do it, right? We think we can sometimes. If we just try hard enough, if we just do the right things, we think God will be happy with me. I will be right with him again. I can fix this. That's kind of our motto. Everything can be fixed, right? I can fix my relationship with God. I can make it right. But we can't. We can't command the winds. We can't command our gut. We can't command our ears. And we can't command our heart to be pure. We cannot do it. Now, there are plenty who will tell you can. There are plenty of churches who are preaching sermons that will say, yes, here's the steps you need to do. You know, here's the small groups you need to go to, the books you need to read, the mission trips you need to go on. But in all of it, it's so easy to forget. There's only one who can make you right, and it's not you. It's only your Savior, Jesus Christ. Just like we can't command our ears, we can't command our hearts. Just like the deaf man needed Jesus, we need Jesus. We need him to put his divine finger into our ears and our heart and make us right with God our Father. So we don't want to miss this miracle. If you're hearing this right now, God is doing that miracle. Right? If you are hearing right now and believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins to give you life everlasting, God is working a miracle. Right now, in your ears. Right? With the blind man, it took just one word, Ephatha. Well, God gives us plentiful words, right? He gives us his scriptures so that we can hear and through the miracle of his word, believe. And it really is a miracle. It's a miracle every time we hear his word, and that's why we need to be in his word. We need to be reading it, need to be hearing it in church on Sunday, reading it with our family, praying from that word, because that's where the miracle happens. To make this point in another little way, I've noticed something recently. I didn't pick up on it right away, but it did kind of hit me recently. I try to listen to a lot of other sermons from other churches just so I kind of know what other people are hearing. And I've noticed something in a lot of the sermons from a lot of your bigger, the kind of what we call mega churches. And that is, they don't just read the Bible. And you may know that already. Obviously, in our service, we have this set time. We have these three separate scripture readings. And we just sit and listen to them. And that's okay. We think that's a good way to do it. You don't have to do it that way. But most of your megachurches don't do anything like that. They don't have a set time where you just hear God's word. Instead, what they do is often read it during the sermon. And that, again, is okay. That would nothing wrong with that. If you want to read, you know, the scripture readings for the day as part of your sermon, that's fine. But what makes me sad is what I've noticed when they read it. When a lot of, now, obviously, it's not a general rule, not a rule for everybody. But generally, a lot of them, when they read the scriptures, read it very fast. Basically, like, I know I need to do this, but I need to get through it so that I don't lose everybody's attention. And that's kind of sad that we would think we need to get through God's word as quick as we can so that we can get to other things. What I've also noticed is sometimes they don't even read it. Instead, they'll say, open your Bibles to whatever chapter, and then they just paraphrase the whole thing, tell it in their own words. And it really betrays something about us. And I bet some of you have thought, why do we have to listen to three scripture readings every Sunday? This betrays something about our hearts, and that is, we just don't really trust the Word of God. We don't think it's going to work. But it does. Okay, we think we need to dress it up, make it sound better, more interesting, but we don't. God's Word is His Word, and He does miracles with it. Like I said, took one word of Jesus, Ephatha, and ears were opened. And that's the same way with us. God's Word will work in your heart. And it's sometimes embarrassing that we just don't trust it. So let's trust it, okay? Let's come to church. Let's listen to His Word. Let's read it at home. Let's pray from it and trust that God is going to work through that Word to open our hearts and ears. And finally, there's one more thing, and I wouldn't want to skip over. But when the man's ears are open, then what also happens? He can talk again. And it's a subtle point, but it's a very important point. It says that he began to speak plainly, but the Greek word is actually he began to speak rightly. Now, many of us get frustrated with the things we say. We wish we hadn't said that, you know, or we wish we would have said that a different way. And so we'll go home and we'll ruminate about, oh, why did I say that? Why did I say that? Well, here's a little tip for you, that the more God's word is entering our ears, the better things we will have on our tongues. It's just a fact. Okay, just like the minute the man's ears were open, he could talk plainly and rightly again. When our hearts and our ears are being filled with God's word, we have better things to say. Right? We have God's word sitting there on our tongues, God's word of peace and joy and hope, and it enables us to speak rightly. And it's a wonderful thing. So friends, the message of the gospel reading today is turn your ears and your hearts to the one who can command them, right? Turn your ears to Jesus, the one who can command even death, who died and rose for you to make you right before God. And he, trust him that through his word, he will open your ears and he will put good words on your tongue. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.